The point that I was making is that we keep saying agriculture, and it has a tainted history, the whole concept. And the question I asked was, should we not be selling the whole concept of farming? Because farming is big business. It's big business in the developed world. There are people who, I can tell you the Cambridge University, they have had a degree related to land economy from 18 something. And much of that was dealing also with farming. Because people need to understand when you talk about farming that you're talking about a very strong, very powerful industry. It is not something that is just backbreaking labor and that only people who have nothing else or can do nothing else should be doing. And that's the wrong concept. Animal husbandry, for example, taking care of animals is not just a case of some dummy looking after the animals. It's much more than that. You have to get to know those animals. You have to get to understand how to care for them so that they can produce and grow so that you can get quick returns on your investment. And when you're dealing with the land, how to plant, how to fertilize, what's the best way to deal with insects, all that sort of thing. It's very technical, it's very involved, and it's a very lucrative business. So that, quite frankly, it should be something that we should be pushing in a major way, the whole concept of farming. So that is where I was going with that.
Right. And I want you to congratulate you on that point. You hit the nail right on the head. I was laughing my head off. When I always say, is it science?
It is.
Yes. I just the agriculture program when it used to be on Q. And I always said, these people realize that they have the opportunity to actually bring the youngsters, even the old people, into science. It's a science. The whole idea, I completely agree. You actually did the opposite of what the colonial powers did in Africa and the Middle East. They went up there and changed good words into Bible. You did the opposite. And another question got to be asked. What did these quote-unquote slaves, how did these quote-unquote slaves eat before slavery? They had to go into farming. Is that not true?
Yeah, but let's talk about slavery and the whole concept that people were brought in chains, were captured, dehumanized, brought in chains here and forced to work. The fact about the matter is that they were put to work because it was recognized that you could make big profits if you had cheap labor.
And
human beings being what they are, brutish, and I can go into Maslow's theory here, but human beings being what they are, you know, they always look to get cheap labor to do whatever they want.
I don't agree with that, but
and,
go ahead.
Well, that's the history of humankind.
Not necessarily, but you go ahead.
So therefore, but the whole point is at the end of the day, being able to feed oneself, which is your family, the country, and to be able to make money and be able to produce for export, has always been the core behind trading that has brought about the sort of development throughout the centuries. So that, to my mind, the whole concept of farming is major, and to my mind, the Ministry of Agriculture and water resources that we have here is the premier ministry that should be given the resources and that should be getting the job done to help lift this country out of the economic malaise that is in. And the impression that I have certainly gotten throughout the years, and I'm not just dealing with the present administration, I'm dealing right across the years, is that agriculture was never seen in that light. And it saddens me, because when you sit down and you think about it, it is a very powerful ministry because it impacts the lives of every single person in the country.
Of course. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. Like I said, from the time I heard that when you on Sunday, I just laughed my head off. But you said exactly what was always on my mind. It is a science. It's a very powerful science. And not only that, too. Let me let you know a little thing here. Encyclopedia Britannica by the Society of Gentlemen Scotland shows that a lot of the techniques in farming actually came down with the same quote unquote sleeves. Now let me go to Miss Speed, she has special constructive criticism there to Mr. Wickham. She's ready for you, but she jumped the gun. She beat me to the punch. Mm-hmm. Regarding your Sunday program about the rules, eh? Mm-hmm. She dealt really with Miss Andy said asking the question about rules made of plastic. But in truth and fact, the question that I had posed also these in plastic. I want you to take this word. If you Google it, MACREBUR. This my question before Miss Anseli came on was based upon a program which was aired last year and revisited on January 1st, 2018 on a program called World Hack. This is a fella here who's actually building roads in Russia for the Capital Football World Cup coming up there. Mm-hmm. And he built his roads out of plastic. But I didn't expect it because I was a tutor. And a tutor, which means I am accustomed to setting exams. And in my questions, there's certain things you got to know. Yeah, this healthy characteristics that I spoke about is actually built into the rules that he's making them of plastic. He was a startup in 2016. We could probably follow his progress because he'll be building it, like I said, rules for the football World Cup in Russia. Now, apparently, Russia has a problem with the bitumen in the asphalt. Mm-hmm. And the Southfieldian characteristic is building the plastic. But he uses the plastic as a binding agent. Mm-hmm. Because they have to redo their roads every 2 years because the bitumen
snow.
Is
and the mines and whatnot, the coal.
Right, mm-hmm. their bitumen is actually poor there, mm-hmm. So he's gonna have to do it. But he uses the plastic as a binding agent, so mm-hmm. even when it gets a minute crack, which one did speak about? It will heat itself before it falls into the four-hole.
But you see, the technology is evolving all the time. So plastics is one thing to look at. But as I think is Mr. Hutchinson.
Robert.
Sorry?
Yeah, you speak about Robert, yeah.
Yeah, that he pointed out that, you know, using all these car tires.
Right, right.
Okay? Because that is something that we know is also used.
Right.
Because the technology, as I said, is evolving. And you will find that we have to look at these things. But you know what the real issue is? It is about having, or rather giving authority to specialized groups where they can come up with these ideas and actually cost them. And then we can explore and see how we can get done. And I think that's one of the things that we lack here so much. We seem to talk, we talk about something, oh, this is a good idea, that's a good idea. And it goes nowhere because we need to have these think tanks. So, like, we had the engineers in here.
The engineers
were telling you straight and plain, like, this is possible, that is possible.
Yes.
But, you know, it should be moving from there to being able to sit down and to be in front of the policymakers so that they would have something informed in front of them. And I think that is really lacking. And we need, that's why I keep always saying ad nauseum, I would add, admittedly, that we need to have these national conversations with all the stakeholders involved. And going forward, this is going to be extremely important. We can't just keep on having one-way conversations where people just tell you, well, this is what we're going to do, and there's no consultation. Because at the end of the day, that is one of the problems that we're going to have in this country. And we have a very educated population. And
exactly.
And I'm not just talking education in terms of academia. I'm talking about people who have a lot of experience.
Exactly.
Okay. And they can make an input. And I think that is something that we need to have. Anyhow, sir, it was great talking to you, but we have to go for the regional roundup. So please stay with us. It's 11:55. Welcome back. Remember, we take another break at 12:30 for the latest. You are on the air. Good afternoon. This is Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Please listen to your telephone and not your radio. This is Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. All right. Well, let me just read this WhatsApp. It's kind of long, but I think it's very, very important. And the person is very concerned about an issue that that continues to affect, especially as you get older. It's dealing with health. And I am not looking at it right now. Yes, okay. What the person is concerned about is the whole idea of pre-existing conditions. And they're querying how insurance companies go about this. So I'm just trying to locate it here again while we sort out that little technical issue we're having right now. There. I now see they've deleted it. Okay. Because what the person was asking for is some clarification on this whole thing, because they're really having a problem right now with an insurance company. Anyhow, we'll go back to our phone lines. Yeah, we got... Yeah. Getting down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hello. Hi. Good afternoon, Sanka.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I not too bad at all, man.
You're late, like, man. You're late.
Man, she's on break. You know what I'm saying?
You're opening batsman normally, you know.
Better late than ever.
Better late than never.
Yeah.
All right, sir.
Listen, a very good program on Sunday. I must compliment you on the team, you know. I thoroughly enjoy it. That's that. You're at the AgriFest Expo?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, very, very good coverage, and VOB do an excellent job. And you was a part of that, so kudos to you and the team. Look, only this week we wake up to the news that, hey, Caribbean citizens that reside in Barbados for 3 months or more was allowed the opportunity to vote, you know, in the upcoming election, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, excites a lot of Caribbean people. Now, if I were one of those persons that living on this island for 3 months or more, it really wouldn't excite me. I give the reason why. The same Caribbean citizens that working and paying in to the national insurance scheme can go to the hospital, can go to the Parkland and get an injection just to pay. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So where are the priorities? Telling me that I could vote in a coming election as a Caribbean citizen that living in Barbados for 3 months or more, should that excite me? I think that telling me as a Caribbean citizen that reside and working in Barbados and paying into the national grid, you know, and I have the same opportunity, or I will be allowed the same opportunity, right, to go at the healthcare facilities and receive health care. You with me? Because I pay into the system. I think that should excite me. So we got to stop with this election cash.
Come on. Yeah, that's not an election, nothing. Come on. No, don't try that.
Who benefit? One party or the next will benefit from that arrangement, right?
I don't know who benefits, but the reality is that, in fact, there are two issues here.
Yeah.
In terms of Commonwealth citizen, now, as long as you reside...
Guyana is apparently Commonwealth?
Yes.
Oh, it is. Okay.
But as long as you reside in the Commonwealth country for... Hold on. But that is a different arrangement. Let me just focus on what we're focusing on here now, which is the voting. I voted as a student in England. I voted. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I went up there in September or late August.
Were you a low foot?
And hold a second. I was up there in late August, and I was able to vote. I think the election was in the October or November, because I had when I applied and I had been accepted, I received an address, And because it came as I was already residing there with that address and whatnot, I would have been, it would be under the period to qualify to vote in that area. Okay. And I don't, quite frankly, I don't see anything wrong with that, because I really think that this whole idea, give me a second now. I think this whole idea of people being able to vote like that, if they're residing and you're working in a country, is good. Now, getting to the point that you were making in terms of if people should be allowed to have access to services, I say yes. As long as they are paying taxes, they should be allowed to participate in the services. I know that there are a whole bunch of people who pay taxes in Barbados who don't have a Barbados passport and they're not citizens, but they live here. And they don't have access, they can't go and get any free treatment at the hospital. And to my mind, that is wrong, because these same people are paying taxes every year.
Well, that's the point that I'm trying to make, Sanka. And I'm glad you agree with me. I mean, you hardly disagree with me anyhow. You know, I don't know if I got some secret for you, but you don't really disagree with me too much. But like I said, I'm glad you agree with me and you see the broader point that I'm making. I am not at all throwing cold water on the ability or the eligibility to
It's 3 years, though, not 3 months. Eh? It's three years. It was 3 years, not 3 months.
Three years.
Yes.
Well,
but the whole point is that, getting back to your substantive point, however, is the fact that if people are living and working here, even if they do not have a Barbados passport and they're not, if they're not even Barbados nationals, that should not stop them
from having access to.
Yeah, but they still can't have access to a hospital and all different services. And it's not good enough because you're paying taxes.
Right, I have friends that working in Barbados, you know, that waiting for their status, you know, to be thing, and they have a Barbados passport. Sorry, a Barbados
ID card. Mm-hmm.
They can't get an injection free. You understand? And they're working. They pay into the system, to the national insurance system.
I think that is just not fair.
No. One little thing, apart and short. No, and this is for the team of VOB. You give a month in review, okay? But Kadir, man, are you saying to me, VOB, that the only thing you could find out of February is the two little items that you bring every hour or so? There's other things went on in February, and you've been doing it now for every month in review. At least, man, mix it up. I heard hearing the same thing rehashing all the time. Mix it up, man. At least when you want review, no March. I go on.
All right, sir. Thank you for calling. It's 12:21. Let's take the next call. All right. In fact, better still, I found the message. It wasn't deleted. It was my mistake. Can you please, if you can, get a doctor, an insurance representative, an insurance representative to explain what a pre-existing condition is? Is it fair for an insurance provider to classify removal of lumps from the breasts that were not cancer, but years later the patient was diagnosed with breastfeeding cancer? Is it correct to classify removal of lumps as a pre-existing condition? If one has an injury or a cyst removed from that foot, which was not cancer, but later was diagnosed with cancer, was that a pre-existing condition? A few insurance companies are advertising medical insurance as no pre-existing condition will be considered to get the business. When you claim that they are classifying another problem to a part of your body as a pre-existing condition and paying $750 a year, rather than the percentage they said you are entitled to. It's a kind of jerky because I read it as the person wrote it and I tried to stick in some words to make it flow. But basically what the person is saying, they're questioning, is what is a pre-existing condition? And if you And if you have a lump in your breast and it's considered breast cancer, sorry, let me read that. If it is fair for an insurance provider to classify removal of lumps from breasts that were not cancerous as a pre-existing condition for having breast cancer. So maybe and hopefully we'll hear from some insurance person or from one of the doctors that I do know. So one of you guys, please WhatsApp me or something to just let me know so we can give this person an answer. Thank you. Let's go back to the phone lines. It's 12:23. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Oh, it's good afternoon, sorry.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to say something to you. I want to draw a little scenario to you. If your, well, not your family, but if two families in a gap was quarreling, and they had a big crowd in the gap around them, and they had a big castle. And I had this big castle, and one family decided, well, I done with that, I gone from here. You with me?
Mm-hmm. So far.
Right. One family said that, well, I gone from here. And the other family continued to curse. I want to know if you think it would have been wise in the first place to leave the scene of the castle when you know that you can get a lot of things said about you that is not necessarily true, and that you should be there to defend yourself when as this cursing go on. You understand what you're saying, Sanka?
What I understand it to be is a typical situation that happened that plays out too much these days in front of somebody holding a camera, a phone right. in their hand.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was drawing out a political scenario where I say that I don't feel that Mia Molly should have come out of Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And a certain gentleman say that only hypocrites does practice hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I take issue with that. Because I am saying that if we know the DLP and we know them good, they're still for early in the game that they can take the elections into the gutter. So all I was saying when I said that she should not have come out of Parliament, is I believe that she should have stopped in Parliament, even up to Friday, to represent she and the BLP against what is likely to be said as a part of the DLP campaign strategy on the last day of Parliament, knowing full well that thousands of people listening to them through the radio and watching through the radio on Parliament Day. So all I was saying is that I feel they should have stopped in Parliament. Not necessary to do nothing, because they can't really get nothing done. They never could have get nothing do because they had the minority. So I was saying that they should stop in Parliament to represent themselves in case this group from the DLP say things about them that really and truly should be there to defend themselves. That's the only point I was trying to make. You understand what I'm saying, Sankar?
I understand you, but at the same time, the reality is whether they're there or they're not there, the government has the majority and they will do what they have to do.
Yeah, but it is not about the majority and doing what they got to do. We all know that. We all agree to that. All I am saying is that they should be there to represent themselves when the government starts to let go some shots across the boat. They should be there to defend themselves. That's all I'm saying. They're going to do what they can get to, what they can't get.
That's one perspective. I'm getting some feedback from your side. For me, it's a case really where you have to stand up for something that you believe in. If you think, as Ms. Motley certainly seems to think, that the Parliament has lost all relevance, well, then she makes a decision. If you recall, give me a sec, 10 years ago, Mr. Thompson, David, decided that Parliament had also lost its relevance, and he stormed out too. That's why I found it rather amusing for them to be saying what they were saying. But then, that is all part of the cut and thrust. You have your radio on, sir, but that is all part of the cut and thrust of politics. And hopefully, Barbadians will be able to recognize, or should say discern, you know, the folly from the facts. But what Miss Motley did was the same thing David Thompson did. So, whatever these guys are saying now, I'm sure that back then, Mr. Arthur and the Miss Motley and others were saying the same thing. So,
six
and one half dozen next. It's already a non-point, because the fact about the matter is this. All the things that are being done now, all the legislation you're trying to pass, everything you're trying to push through at this time, at some point it has to be held up to the light and to be seen for what it is.
Yeah, it has to be held up to scrutiny.
You know?
But Sanka, all I was trying, it ain't got nothing to do with what can or cannot be done in Parliament, you know? The point I am trying to make is that they should be there to represent themselves when the Democratic Party starts to talk a lot of negatives. That's all I am saying. It ain't got nothing to do with what they can or cannot do. Because people, I hear a fella, my girlfriend Alvin from Poundless got saying that DLP means dear loving people, but I think it means destroying little people. DLP means destroying little people.
Right,
but
no,
anyway,
we ain't going down any political line here right now. All right, my friend.
I want Mr. King to know that that's basically the point I was making. And it ain't got nothing to do with what David Thompson do. Because I hear you telling a caller this morning that when he caller talk about Don Greenland, you say he's get too far back. So you going back now to tell me with David Thompson. And this ain't David Thompson time. Every period, you got to treat every period differently. And that's all he was really saying. Not that I don't think that me and Molly doing. No, she don't. Because me and Molly's a very brilliant young woman. You know, and I know me and Molly personally. And all that she's doing, I am with her. But I just feel that that's what she should have been.
All right, fair enough. Well, look, we got to take a break here now for the latest. I have Roberta Dollar next to me, jumping at the bit, I may say. And but just before I go, just let me make this clarification here. In fact, the latest has to start right now, so I'll do that afterwards. Welcome back. Remember, we finished today at 1, which is like 27 minutes from now. No, 17 minutes from now. Wow. Before we took the break, I was just making a clarification here that Dr. Duguid, he only left Barbados after he left Parliament. He said he did it beforehand. So let me read this WhatsApp. Could you find out if Ms. June Fowler is looking out for the policyholders at British American also? What I can tell you, sir or madam, whoever wrote this, is that that is also one of the companies that will be that Restlife will be dealing with as well. And if you need any information, of course you can call BEPA, which is the Barbados. What's the acronym again? Anyhow, you can of course call BEPA on that. But certainly, Restlife has taken over the portfolio of Clico, as well as. There's another company dealing with British American. I think Sagicor will be taking over I'm speaking on a correction here, but I think Sagicor will be taking over the portfolio for British American. So, but British American was dealt with first. So, everything seems to be going on track. We'll have to wait and see as things develop, how they happen. But let us hope and wish for the best. Anyhow. We have a number of calls, and we only have 15 minutes to go, so let's take them fast as possible. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I just want to say that Miss MP Stantia Bradshaw repeatedly called on government to repair the roads at Salters, Dentry Road, as well as Plumtree Road, Haggett Hall. On Tuesday, 27th of February this year, 2018, and that would have been this week, both she, that's Miss Bradshaw, mm-hmm. her father, and myself, Sean, the former MP for St. Michael Southeast. Mm-hmm. Just heard that.
Yes.
Witness the commencement of this road work since Plum Tree Road. Mm-hmm. Evidence of this was posted on Santia's Facebook at 6 a.m. on the following day, which would have been Wednesday morning. It is very misleading for Mr. Rodney Grant to claim on last night's TV, CBC, that he witnessed the start of this road work. Miss Bradshaw visited and spoke to the residents on the same day, Tuesday, when that road work started. I'm wondering what, or rather, it makes one wonder what Mr. Lashley, who was present with Mr. Rodney Grant, when he said that the road work for 20 years, that the residents in that constituency needed road work in there for 20 years. And Mr. Hamilton Lashley was a consultant. Rodney Grant was a consultant. I'm wondering what Mr. Lashley, Hamilton Lashley, said regarding the statement Rodney Grant made that for 20 years, because Mr. Lashley was the MP, sitting MP, at that time for 20 years. Santia stated in her manifesto, provide road repairs. I'm reading part of Santia.
You've got to make it quick, sir. You've got to make it quick.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Provide road repairs at Plum Tree Road and Salters Tenantry Road, Lower Burnie. Both entrances are abutting on a bounding Matville. That's right. And this is since 2013. And that's all I have to say, sir.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let's go to another call. It's 12:48. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Moderator.
Yes, it is.
Could I ask you a question and then make a statement?
Yes, you're on the air, though.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. The question is, have you ever tasted turkey ham?
Yes.
Okay. Is it turkey or ham?
That's a good question. To me, it's some concoction that they've put together. But it's not, I don't think it's turkey.
It's not turkey.
Or it could be turkey that has been smoked and whatnot. I'm not sure. You know, it's one of those things you just ate, but I'm not really quite sure. Well, you tell me, what is it?
It's turkey.
It's turkey that you smoked.
You smoke,
uh-huh.
You cut
okay.
it up.
Yeah.
You shape it up.
Okay.
You dress it up.
Uh-huh.
You inject it.
Yes.
But okay. At the end of the day, it is still turkey.
Yeah.
It may look like ham, feel like ham,
mm-hmm.
taste like ham, but it is still turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using that comment to say that I saw a picture recently in the Easy magazine, February 25th, 2018, and it disturbed me. And I asked myself, when did we get to this point? And I also recognize that this nation, we have been slipping and sliding in this direction for a long time. Now, there's a reptile book that I read, and it says that we human beings were made male and female, and we were also made in the likeness of our Creator. Only two species of beings were created, and the Creator made sure that we were made in His image. The Creator gave us the power of choice, and He never takes away that power of choice. So we have the option. We can cut it up, shape it up, dress it up, inject it, but we are still male and female. And because He loves us, He never gives up on us. The turkey may not have another chance, but we do. It is time for this nation, this is my opinion, for our nation to get back to our Creator. It is time for us to see ourselves as beautiful as He has formed us and to love ourselves. That's what I have to say.
Can I engage you, though?
Okay.
I understand what you're saying, but do you recognize that diversity is part of life? And that the level of diversity has been going, diversity has been around us for several years.
As in, I am black, you're brown, somebody is white, somebody
some people are gay, some people are not.
Choice. God has given us the choice.
Precisely, but the whole point is that you have your choice and you've made your choice. If somebody else has made a choice, why have you criticized them? I mean, you're Christian, there's people who are Muslim, mm-hmm. there are people who are Hindu.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were born if you're born in India, for example, the probability mm-hmm. is that you will be most likely Hindu, and Christianity mm-hmm. will be foreign to you. And
all
the likelihood
right.
that if you're born here, you're more likely Christian, and Hinduism or Islam will be foreign to you.
Yeah, but
there's choice. And it ranges not only in religion, it goes to sexual choices as well.
But we're still all created in the image of God, meaning that we all have a soul, we all have a spirit, we all have a body. Mm-hmm. The soul is that part where we, our emotions.
But that's your perspective. But that is your perspective. I'm not trying here to criticize you or to change your mind. But the whole thing about it is that's your perspective. There are a couple of people that I know very, very well. In fact, mm-hmm. if Peter was here, he would have a lovely discussion with you. Who would tell you they got no God? Okay.
Yeah, but you know,
there are people who will tell you that.
I could say China does not exist. I could say, because I believe China does. I've never seen it. I don't know anybody.
Yeah, but you see Chinese,
there.
So you won't
but
tell
does
me
that.
That
mean, but does that mean... That's, what you
that's
have
a bad example,
a
but I get your point. I get your point.
So does that mean China does not exist because I have never seen a Chinese and I have never been to China?
The point is, and all I'm saying to you and all I'm saying to all people who would come with this perspective that you've come with mm-hmm. is that there is something called diversity, there's something called choice. And we need in this world to sometimes to take a step back, mm-hmm. despite our beliefs,
mm-hmm.
and to look at what is taking place around us.
May
we do not have necessary to agree with it mm-hmm. at all, okay?
May I ask a question?
You just hold a second, let me finish. You don't have to agree with it at all, mm-hmm. but at least try to understand mm-hmm. that this is what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if you could, in your own way, like you've done today, try to make a difference by saying, I stand for something else, fine. But mm-hmm. at least recognize that everybody is entitled to their own way of life as long as it's within the law.
Question.
Go right ahead.
If you saw me going down the road and there was a massive pothole, I have never driven that road before, but you drove it. You had just passed, and you saw it, and you turned back. Would you, and you had the opportunity to say to me, listen, there's a pothole down there. I suggest you turn around or change course or find another road. Would you do it? Or do you think you should do it? Let me ask you a question.
I get where you're coming from. All I would say to you is that you have just done what you think you need to do. And that is fine. But at the same time, understand what the old people always tell you. You can carry a cow to the water, but you can't make it drink. People will do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you and others who believe that things should go one way need to recognize that there's diversity in this world and we can't change it. We have got to learn to understand it. And quite frankly, that is how life is. It has always been like this. I'm not saying it is right. Mm. I'm not saying it is wrong. We need to recognize diversity and live and let live. Mm. That's all I need to say about that. And I thank you very much for your question. Have a great day. We have 5 more minutes to go. We try to take 2 more calls. This is Brass Stacks. Good afternoon.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm well.
Glad to hear that. With the transport system, where the country people is concerned,
mm-hmm.
The people that live in the country are suffering very, very bad.
When you say country, what do you mean? St. John, St. Andrew, St. Lucie?
Right.
Where do you mean?
That people in that live in the country that got to depend on transport board buses. I just ask myself why poor people like we are being treated the way how we are treated. You think after you done work, you think it's fair that you had any work going in a bus stand and wait 3 and 4 hours before you could get home to get a bus to get home? I really would like to find out who is the minister over transport.
Come on, you know who the minister is good enough. Come on.
Yes.
But that's not the point. The whole thing about it is you know what the situation is. Okay, we all know about this. If the only way you don't know is if you don't want to know. The question is what you're going to do about it or what can be done about it. And it, you know what surprises me when every time I hear people calling in about this, I always wonder if the people who run minibuses and whatnot or even these pirate taxis don't ask themselves if... Don't say to themselves, especially the guys with the pirate taxis, because you can't go off-road with the minibuses. But with the pirate taxis, why don't they provide a service to people? Because let's face facts. I mean, a taxi going from here to Belle Plaine, charging maybe $5.
Yeah.
You know, it may be worth it. The problem is that the roads are so bad, nobody don't want to go down these areas. That's the real problem. A lot of people don't want to go these areas because the roads are terrible.
Right?
But the thing about it is this problem is not going to go away. You can have an election. It's still going to go away. What we need when it comes to dealing with transportation is we need to have a plan. Right now, there seems to be no plan. Just talk.
You see, Spikestown got about 8 or 9 buses now. A lot of the buses that was in Spikestown, then take them down there and push them up down to work. And got the people and spite some notes. You could imagine that I done work yesterday and I get a bus from Connelltown the minute after probably near I get home about roughly about 10 o'clock last night after waiting on a bus from yesterday evening. Mm-hmm. But in the morning when it's only 7 o'clock when you don't get another bus till up in there about 1 o'clock anyway about there till next to the evening time, which is ridiculous, man.
I agree with you, sir. And one of the things I would suggest to you is to one day stop short in Moontown and have a chat with Mr. Kelman.
You know?
Let Mr. Kelman know how you're suffering. And since Mr. Kelman always likes to say he looks out for his people, let him do something about the poor bus transportation in St. Lucie.
Yeah,
I'm sorry if I seem so cynical, but really and truly, this thing has been going on so long that there comes a point where, you know, you really can't think about complaining all the time. You got to take some sort of action. And maybe if more and more people start turning up and move on, keeping some noise, maybe then something would happen. But sir, we got to go. The theme is in the background. Thanks for being a lovely audience. I sincerely hope that you got a lot from that conversation between Dr. Bell and Dr. Marshall looking at the social partnership, because it is a major issue going forward. We have to find a way to get all the stakeholders in Barbados working together to get this economy going, and it is an urgent thing.